It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mic, Camera, Action.
Actor, voiceover artist, voiceover trainer Xavier Paul Cadeau from the Emmy Award-nominated HBO series The Night Of and GTA video game series is now available to coach you for a voiceover career. With 25 years of broadcast experience, current VO bookings include Walt Disney World Resorts, UL Technologies, Nike, Toyota, and Toys R Us. Xavier trains you effectively for voiceover business success. He's also getting into casting and has recommended several of his students for actual voiceover jobs.
Dan and I's habit is that we always get into a fabulous conversation and then we forget to record it. And then we go back and say, why didn't we press that button?
Yeah,
right.
Know.
So I just said, let's go because you're already saying great things.
Yeah. Another show, another great guest as always. And, you know, for those to kind of set the scene for those who are listening to this podcast and wondering what goes on in the studio, we tend to Skype in our guests. We can see them because it just allows us to have this relationship with our interviewees, our guests. It's just a better way to
talk.
It's
visuals.
Like, right, the
visual.
It's like they're right here in the room with us.
Yeah.
And today we have another great guest, as always, and I'm feeling a little inadequate. I know this is a couple of shows
goodness.
Now where you've been lining people up.
No competition, yeah. Only a colleague, and he's fabulous, and I can't wait to introduce him. He's just amazing in every way and really a powerhouse of talent, so we're lucky to get him in on the show, and that is Xavier Paul. And, you know, I'm still not sure if I'm saying two names or three because you have a fabulous last name, too, so correct me if it should be Xavier Paul Cadeau.
Yeah, please. That sounds just so much better.
It does. There's a ring to that. Welcome.
Even if it weren't me.
Welcome to the show.
Three is a magic number. I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Dan. Now, your audience can see me.
No. Only we can see
only
you.
Only we
That's what
can
I was saying.
See you.
We bring you into the studio. Right. I was explaining to our audience that we get to see you, and it helps in when we're having a conversation. It's as if you're here in the studio with us.
He just got up and left.
Because we needed to just make that clear because goodness gracious, you know, I don't people.
No worries at all.
Oh, no. I mean, you have on a tuxedo. You look like James Bond. I mean, I'm just trying
the little
to
red handkerchief right there
exactly.
Really works.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Fabulous.
That
my voiceover says parental discretion is advised. Not admitted without parent.
Good disclaimer. Thank you very much.
So Xavier and I met actually not too long ago. Really, we met this year at a conference and just hit it off right away. We were right at that pasta salad, hit it right off.
Oh.
And we sure were.
Weren't we? Literally.
Pasta
we were
salad
at,
relationship.
It feels like I've known you for years.
It does. I mean, spiritually.
Must have been a great pasta salad.
It was great pasta salad, but Xavier and I have known each other spiritually for a long time.
Ooh.
You know how you meet those people and you just feel that way?
Insert music.
No. It's the real deal. And so I said, okay, we've got to bring him on. And on top of that, he is one of our newest star coaches on the team. He's New York City, boots on the ground. He's working it. He's living the dream. He makes his living off this career and coaching with us. And so welcome, Xavier.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate it. And wow, this is exciting. You know, that spiritual stuff, it really is. There's something to that. There's an article I wrote for a pretty popular voiceover blog, which, of course, will remain nameless. But when I submitted the article was entitled Voiceover, a Spiritual Ability? Question mark.
Mm. Wow.
And because in our day of self-direction and authenticity coming through the voice and the whole discussion about the voice being the mirror of the soul, I got into that. I went deeply into that. I'm also on my Shirley MacLaine spiritual travel. Let's go to his Arizona mountain and look up at the sky. That's my whole deal.
Wow.
But a lot younger and hipper and fresher than Shirley MacLaine.
And better looking. A tan better.
Much better.
And I'm incorporating all that stuff in my career, in the work and the art, all of it. And it's working. It's actually, you know, this whole thing about, well, when they give you direction for a particular piece of voiceover copy, we're listening. And I tell my students, yeah, you know, go ahead and listen to the direction. But keep in mind, we're in a communications business. We may not be the best at putting our ideas across to each other. So don't just listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're trying to say. In a way, and people say, well, I can't read minds. Well, you don't have to be a mind reader, but I think you do kind of have to be a soul reader.
Wow, that's deep.
In order to really.
I love that. I love that. So get right into it. How does that manifest if you are, say, you're at a live audition, okay? Or you booked a gig and you're being directed in a booth. How do you put that mindset on where you're not just seeing the pragmatic and you're not just watching the time clock and thinking about the job and the money, but how do you put that higher enlightenment into the brain? What's some of the tips you would offer?
Yes. Well, law, there are a couple of considerations. So that, yes, we're in the communication business. And what we're quote unquote selling really is the emotional engagement, the emotional message behind whatever the particular piece of media is, regardless of the genre. We're essentially asking the listener or the viewer to buy into what's going on an emotional level, on a energetic level. And for years, I had to confront myself when I would be given a piece of direction and it was very difficult for me to follow it. In my mind, I thought I was following the direction, and they would come back and say, no, not quite, let's try it again. And after several times, I would have to ask myself, well, what are they really saying to me? And probably most importantly, why is it so hard for me to give that to them? What is it about what I'm doing? And in what specific ways am I standing in my own way? And what I came up with was a deeper level of listening. And that involved me getting into the intention of, well, my intention of as being a voiceover artist, like what emotional needs am I trying to get met through the work I'm doing, and in what ways do they match up with the character that I'm portraying at the time, and what ways do they not?
Right.
I can take a look at, okay, this particular piece of copy sort of fits my energy, and it's an easy, but it's a smooth task to get into. And then pieces of copy that don't quite speak to who I am or my reality or what I relate to on any level, and how to bridge that gap. What work has to be done in order to create that? I may be getting a little off track.
I think it's important, because I've tried to do a little bit of voiceover work on the side. And the most difficult thing for me is to figure out the intent behind, like, what is it that they're really looking for? Because you can look at a script, and typically you're not getting the whole thing. Sometimes you're just getting a piece of it. And it is hard for me to fully understand beyond what's on the paper in front of me, what are they trying to do? And to the extent that you can tap into some bigger understanding, as to the soul of the role, or the intent, I think, boy, I don't know that it's easy to reach that point, but certainly if you can find that, it would certainly help. I know it would help me,
Indeed. Wow. Now, again, the challenge here is to get a little too woo-woo about this in this conversation.
Right.
Keep in mind, this you're talking to someone who continues to train as an actor after 20 years of working on camera, acting class, improv, comedy, deep Meisner work, method work, movement work, body work, instrumental work, acting conservatory, ad nauseum. I mean, this stuff is, at any point during the day, I'm doing some technique, consciously or unconsciously. Like right now I'm sitting in this chair, but I got to be conscious of my posture. I got to be conscious of the fact that we're speaking over Skype, and I've got to modulate my voice in such a way so that I can get the point across, but not sound like, you know how some people sound over the phone, like, hi, can you hear me now? Can you, that whole thing.
Right.
And all these factors come into play so that we sound natural and spontaneous and real and create a sense of intimacy, whether it's 2 feet, that person that listeners 2 feet away, or a million miles away.
Right. Mm. And Lai, didn't he, you know, he touched on something that we've brought up quite a bit, not only in this book we're working on, but also on our podcast. It is this notion of no matter how many years you've been in the industry, you have to always keep working.
You're like always you have to, working.
You know, we've made the analogy mm-hmm. to someone who is on a professional sports team, whether it's football, basketball, whatever. You know, they don't just show up because they're veterans and they show up on the first game and go out there and play. They are always off season, you know, working out. They're doing whatever it is to stay in shape. And mm-hmm. oftentimes people think once I've made it, I don't have to work anymore. But you are an example, as you pointed out, that it's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nature of it. I believe the ongoingness of it is a characteristic of the craft itself. It occurred to me today that a voiceover career is located inside of an acting technique. That's where it's located.
Wow.
If you're looking for a voiceover career and you want to find it, look inside of an acting technique and that's where you'll find it.
So you have mentioned a whole bunch of really prolific techniques. Is there one that really resonates with you, or do you find it's an organic approach over the years of training and processing and synthesizing your work changing and you changing? What are some of the recommendations you have for listeners out there that say, well, I'm in an acting class or I'm not, what should I be doing?
So, for instance, we have in the commercial genre these various emotional obligations for a script. We can go from informative to professional to conversational to excited to mature to upbeat. So as an actor, part of acting training is, as you know, this it's almost like psychotherapy where mm-hmm. We're not so much working on scenes and monologues, but we're doing exercises that kind of dissolve certain ego barriers that we've put up that keep us and prevent us from fully being more of ourselves and more expressed as ourselves. So that as I grow as an actor, I recognize that I'm at certain times able to attain and portray an emotional delivery more readily than others. I'm able to be more conversational depending on what's going on in my life and what things are opening up for me on the planet as a human being. I'm able to tap into being inviting and or sincere or refined or upbeat depending on my point of view and the work I'm doing internally as an artist, as an actor, and as a person. And how I'm connecting with others and relating to others and how much am I getting out of my own comfort zone. And as I think about this, I realize that, because again, coming from a film acting career, you know, films are shot out of sequence.
Right.
So, and one way to interpret that is, oh, darn, this is out of sequence. I'm confused now. We're doing the second to last scene of the first day of shooting. And this is a source of confusion. Whereas when you're really inside of your technique, like really inside of it, that's not a source of confusion. It's actually a source of inspiration. You're like, great, great. Last scene, first day. Let's go.
Right, right. Wow. As an instructor of people who are either starting out or been in the business a little while, what's the biggest mistake you think that you've heard? If you can look back over the years, do you have that one that everyone seems to make?
Yeah, I think what it is that what ends up being the biggest mistake ends up being the biggest elephant in the room, and that is the mindset. So what happens because the voiceover industry has become more visible in the past, I would say, 10 years and increasingly as we approach to the present from 10 year being the outside number and coming in. It's the industry and the craft has been portrayed as a lottery win with no recognition of exactly what the obligation is as a voiceover artist. Oh my God, if the right producer hears you, you could book a national spot and make $1 million. That's what
so
people
true.
Think.
So true.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's come from. That's the mentality. That's the whole. So if you got like somebody who's like got those dollar signs and is like, you know, that look on their face, And then they fizzle out. It's usually about six months to a year between when people, you know, get compare their fantasy to the reality. So that's really a lot of what's going on. And unfortunately, the another, just to wrap up this point, that another unsung, or I want to say, pink elephant reality in the business that no one's talking about, but I've always been a radical edgy guy, so I have no problem talking about
it. It's
the undiscussable is that we've got more voiceover artists in the industry now than ever before. However, and this is from the private meetings that I've had with my friends that are real top insiders, top casting directors, top producers at ad agencies, the real movers and shakers and buyers in this industry. The biggest kept secret is that we've got more talent, and the biggest kept secret is that most of the work is garbage.
Wow.
We've got more awful reads, more bad work than ever before. No one can really talk about it because no one kind of wants to burst anybody's bubble, and you don't walk around saying that, oh, no, not quite. It's this kind of, and you may have noticed this sort of kumbaya, sort of like, hey, you know, it's your process. Wherever you are, no matter where your work is or what the level of your work is, wherever it may be, even if it's non-existent, the tendency is to just kind of be upbeat about it and just sort of like, hey, well, you're just growing and you're finding yourself. And part of me, I understand that on one level. And on another level, I'm sort of like, is this person really being served by being cheered on no matter what? I don't quite know of growth. Let me just wrap up with this point, and I think it'll say everything that I really want to say. We've got more voiceover education out here than ever before. More classes, coaches, workshops, webinars, blah, 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 ad nauseum. There's a lot of voiceover education, but very little voiceover learning.
And is that the problem, that technology has now taken something that was maybe not as accessible and brought it into a living room or an apartment or whatever? You know, anyone with $100 now can get a microphone,
right,
plug it into their laptop,
yep,
and deliver a script, where in the past you had to go to a studio, or it became a little bit more difficult to carry out the
good
craft.
Question, Dan. Good
now
question.
Now it appears, you know, everyone thinks they're a voiceover artist. So could that be part of the problem?
That's a symptom of what's going on. It's because we have the information must not be confused with learning.
Right.
We've got to be careful of that. It's a factor and a feature of it, but just information and demonstration, these things many times are taken in isolation as the chunk of it, like the heart of the matter is what could be covered in a weekend workshop, or this whole discussion on conversational and real. So to accomplish conversational and real is basically the skill of the voiceover artist. No, it's a current trend that's being used as a result of a variety of other factors that have to be taken into account. You know, it's like voiceover artists, we have a tendency, we want to live in a silo in terms of our own perception of our voice and how our voice is coming across to others. Meanwhile, the advertising agencies and the media companies that are the buyers of what we do stay up late nights studying, focus grouping, researching, prodding and pulling, psychological experiments, all this stuff. It's down to a science with them. It's down to a science with them. And so that means, and you mean to tell me that you're going to expect a voiceover career without it being down to a science for you?
Right.
Wow, it's an algorithm now. Yeah, that's what it's down to. That's a great point.
Right.
You know, I want to ask you, Xavier, I don't know if the listeners, they can feel your energy, feel your spirit, and feel your sound.
We can see it.
But I also want to, I want to just talk a little bit about your energy, because if I were to name an energy drink after you, it would be the X drink. Because
hey, that's an idea.
Isn't that good, right? So you got Monster, and then you've got the X drink.
That's right.
What do you do to keep your energy high, your spirits high, yourself clear-headed? That's a big deal for us in our industry. It's just to keep ourselves from, you know, getting depressed or getting low energy or losing focus. What are some of the factors that you live every day to help you keep this high level of clear-headedness and energy?
I think it goes back to what I learned in acting conservatory. A lot of the as a voiceover artist, you're essentially an actor, right. Essentially a performer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So mm-hmm. performers have to be ready with their instrument, well, at the drop of a hat.
Right.
So it's the whole process that goes into that. A lot of it is physical and body work. So whatever your deal is, whether it's running, Pilates, you know, boxing, weightlifting, I've dabbled in and continue to in a variety of those things. That connection with the physical body is key. It is truly key. I think Lau and I, mm-hmm. and I, we should work on some sort of fitness initiative for voiceover artists, because the actual day-to-day work, you know, if you're at your home studio and you've got a lot of clients, you know, you're sitting and standing, got to be careful of that. Got to be real careful. Got to watch that diet.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Got to watch that diet. Got to watch what you eat before and after a session. Can't just go crazy on spicy food, because three scripts will come in and it's, you know, you're going to be belching your way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to be said
real.
For that. We have workouts, but vocal workouts, but we really need workouts.
Right,
we need physical
right.
workouts, mental workouts, and spiritual workouts to
right.
keep yourself alive every day.
And I'm wondering if, you know, you've brought up so many good points, but for someone listening who may not be thinking about going into a voiceover career, is there anything from taking great lessons from people like you? Is there anything that you can glean from that can just help you to communicate better in life, in your job, whatever it may be? Not for a voiceover career, but just in presentation skills.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's that piece about being your best version. Being your most authentic self. And one of my favorite models, the voice being the mirror to the soul, we can take a look at how we create who we are vocally and allow that to be great information as to how we can dig deeper into being more of ourselves. For a lot of years, I had pretty busy voiceover career, just really writing, as I look back, really writing on just the basic sound of my voice, and at the time, pretty basic acting technique or performance sensibility. Now, with more years of experience and more digging deeper into what are the best in the world doing, what are the pioneers, what have they done,
right.
The work of some of the best actors, people like Morgan Freeman, the James Earl Jones, all of the greats,
yeah.
and following their path, it's allowed me to take it to my next level, which also involved, a rehabilitation of the personality.
Hmm.
Okay, so I'm
what
a bit more patient.
Oh, okay,
I think yeah, I was gonna. Well, you're probably gonna ask me, what do you mean by that, Xavier?
Right.
I think I would like to believe I'm moving toward being a bit more patient person, a bit more compassionate and empathetic, a bit more self-nurturing, less self-critical and more self-analytical. Okay. Watching what, being mindful of what I put into my mind on a daily basis. I'm not following all of this current media hype about it's the end of the world. I'm not going there. It's, you know,
well,
it's over.
It could be the end of the world, but at least smile and be happy.
No, doubtful. Xavier, I want to hear just briefly about a couple of your favorite projects. You've done so much in your lifetime. Just one or two that just stick out in your mind and really memorable, and why.
Okay, well, first comes to mind is a non-voiceover related project. And I played one of the high school students in the movie Lean on Me with Morgan Freeman.
Ooh, nice.
It was the very, very first scene. Yeah, very, very first scene where it's supposed to be the 1960s and East Side High was not yet heavily segregated. So I was the only Afro-American student in the class. Memorable for me because I got to spend the day with Morgan Freeman and watch him work.
Awesome.
And watch,
awesome.
Yeah. Watch the kind of artist he was. He would argue with the director, John Avildsen, at the time. he would, we get into these bickering matches with him, but he would say, no, Joe Clark wouldn't do it that way. No, Joe Clark wouldn't do it that way. No, I'm gonna move here on this line, and then I'm gonna, you know, and it would be a process of him. He was assertive, yet agreeable. He wasn't disagreeable or argumentative, but he, and I think more VO artists at whatever level of your career, and again, making sure your craft backs this up.
Right. Yeah. But
probably
exactly.
For more mid-level and advanced artists, to get out of this, oh, sure, no problem. I'll just follow your direction. I have no creativity. I'm just a puppet. I'll do it your way no matter what. Please hire me for the next job. You know, more into, oh, okay, can I try it this way? Or why don't we take a look at this approach? Bringing your, if you really feel strongly about a read being a certain way, make that suggestion after you deliver what they're asking for, and set the tone so that they're open to your ideas when you make that suggestion.
Pretty awesome.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So that would be the project. And another project, what else? You know, I just recently did something for the DJ Armin van Buuren. He's one of the top DJs.
Very cool.
In the world.
Very cool.
All right. I'm appearing on his new hit single called I Live for That Energy, and he's actually touring the Netherlands with that.
It's that energy thing.
That's what it is. It's exactly. A big deal. It's a big, big deal.
Sign the X, man.
Telling you, Xavier is like vocal candy. You can't just have a little bit. You have to keep listening and have more.
Has anyone said that to you before? Vocal candy. That's actually a new one. That's a
for me, what really keeps me going, you see, it was always, I'm very curious about why certain things work. And what are the formulas behind things that work, and unique ways to solve problems. Okay, when I'm in the studio, it's like I'm one of these VO talent. They're like, okay, that's enough. That's okay. No, that's all right. We got it. I'm like one more. I want to keep picking at it. I'm one of these people. Even as a kid, it was just like, get him out of here. It's too many. All right. And that is because it, as I learn more about what works and why, and what doesn't work and why, I'm able to have a fuller life experience by understanding the universe more. And the end of the world, people, but you know, there are more worlds than this world. If this world has to end, then we'll just continue on in another one, and there'll be voiceovers to do there.
This is like the combo life voiceover coach.
That's right.
Life voiceover motivational coach.
That's right.
There's got to be a new title for Xavier.
You know, it's,
right? It's holistic. It's a person. It's not just a voice or an actor, right? It's a person. You've challenged, you've challenged Dan to the core. He's exhausted. He actually needs to go home early today because there's a lot of
take a sip of water there.
Thought process here.
This
incredible.
Is deep.
Very deep.
This is deep.
Very
for,
deep.
You know, an afternoon show right now. We're recording it in the afternoon. I feel like I need a nap after this. I'm worn out.
I know.
I mean,
he gives you a lot to process, and that's why I adore him. And I'm just astounded by him and in love with him. So thank you for coming and sharing your just a moment of your brilliance. We'll have to hear more later. We'll do a sequel.
Oh, that definitely.
Thank you.
We'll call it the X Energy sequel
part 2.
Exactly.
For my website.
What? Yeah,
take
yeah,
a look
yeah. Promo
and,
yourself.
And
yeah.
Say hi. Visit me at coolvoicemedia.com.
Okay. Cool. Anything else you'd like to plug?
Oh, let's see. For now, I think that's we'll kill. Oh, well, you know, if you want some audiobook flavor, just go ahead and look me up on Audible. I got a couple titles. You might be, be able to soothe you to sleep on a on a lonely night.
Beautiful.
And some are really soothe you to sleep on a lonely night. And I think that's about it. I'm
that's
looking
all
forward
good.
To more exciting things with both of you guys.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And we hope someone out there will feel educated, feel like they really got
for
something,
sure.
Some deep stuff here today. This
how
was
could
good.
They not?
This was good. Well,
thank
thanks for joining
you, Xavier,
us.
So much.
Take care, guys. Have
okay.
a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
So we can't leave without talking about
us,
our new deal,
yeah,
sponsorship.
Man.
We're excited.
Right. And, you know, our shows, oftentimes we have guests who come on. Which can, as we just heard, I mean, it's an education. You should be paying for this stuff, right?
Absolutely.
But we want to, in order to continue doing this show, we want to bring in sponsorships. And so if you're out there and you'd love to be able to be part of this show, whether you are a company or maybe a college that wants to promo their a communication department, we'd love to have you as part of this this team. And it's not just an ad that we want to do. We really want a partnership. So if you're looking for that, check us out. And let us know.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?